Welcome back to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. I'm starting to get my voice back. It's still a little scratchy, but we're going to soldier on and see if we can push out a podcast that might mean something today. We're going to look back to recent history. I know I like to talk about history and experience, but I think the most recent history, I would just say in the past month or so, is pretty exciting. I mean, you could almost say it's titillating for the Democrats. I mean, they're all excited because they want to impeach our president. So as I was doing some research, I came across, as everyone else probably in the country has, the ID of this accused or alleged, I don't want to say accused, alleged whistleblower. Don Jr. tweeted out the other day, Eric Caramella, and I thought, wow, I remember that name. You see, I spent some time in Washington, D.C., and I remember doing some work and was actually even, you know, spent a good deal of time in 2017 in the city, and I remembered that name. So I did a little digging in my notes, because I like to keep a lot of copious notes, and talked to some friends of mine, and I remember, yes, I remember that guy. And I tracked him down, not really, but I thought it would be great to have him here for an interview if he was actually here. But then he showed up. So I just want to welcome you, Eric. I can't thank you enough for coming in and giving me the chance to talk to you about what's going on, giving you a chance to defend yourself. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, it's really good to be here. Now, Eric, before we get started, and I know you're not really sitting next to me, and this might be a spoof or it might not be, but the information I believe is going to be 100% accurate. Before we get started, could I have something to drink, please? Sure, Eric, there's water right on the conference table right in front of you there. Do you have any juice boxes? No, buddy, I don't think we have any juice boxes. Johnny always gave me a juice box. I really liked it. Okay, Johnny. You know, Mr. Brennan, but I'm not supposed to tell anyone, so I'm just, you know, Johnny. Oh, okay, yeah, well, I guess we can maybe talk about that later or not talk about that later since you're sitting next to me and probably not, but it's confusing. We'll get into it. So anyway, you're here today, and it's alleged that you are the actual whistleblower. Are you the one that's been passing information to Adam Schiff in the impeachment inquiry that they're doing in the Intelligence Committee? Now, I'm a little confused because I know impeachment should be in the Judiciary Committee, and I look up the House Intelligence Committee, and none of their mandates in that Intelligence Committee have anything to do with the executive branch, with the president in particular, and especially with impeachment, but they seem to be the ones leading the inquiry. Well, yeah, because, you know, that's where us intelligence guys like to talk. It's a quiet room with lots of padding. It's called a SCIF. Oh, yeah, Secret Compartment Information Facility. Yeah, it's really cool. Wow, that's great, man. Well, listen, before we get into all that, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I'm from Connecticut. I grew up there. I went to Yale. You know, Ivy League. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard that about you. You went to Yale. And evidently, you know, you did pretty well at Yale. Yeah. I was cool. Hey, I wanted to ask you something. I was looking up a little information when you were at Yale. And I noticed that you were cited by the Yale Daily News as a student, which is, I guess, your student newspaper, as a ringleader in the protest around the removal of a modern language and noted Islamist faculty member. And the faculty at Yale was going to dismiss this man because they found him both studious and a little bit overzealous in his Islamist beliefs. He was more, it appears that he was more towards a radicalized Islam. I'm not 100% on this, but this is what I'm reading from some notes. I just wondered, and actually open source information from the Yale Daily News, but I just wondered your take on it. Yeah, it was a travesty. You know, they wanted this, we didn't want this professor to leave. So 10 of us Arabic students. Oh, so you studied Arabic? Yeah, I studied Arabic. And we went to the provost, Andrew Hamilton, and the president, Richard Levin. And we were dressed in white to protest the departure of Arabic professor Bassam Franje. Wow. So you've been an activist since college, I guess. Well, technically, it's a university, but yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. And you were all dressed in white. Well, the white was kind of to symbolize the future goal of bridging the gap between the United States and the Middle East through the use of Arab language. Wow, that's fascinating, man. And that's really interesting because I was reading that actual article in the Yale Daily News, and that's exactly what it says. It says that students convened outside Silman at 9 a.m., all dressed in white to symbolize their future goal of bridging the gap between the United States and the Middle East through the use of Arabic language, said Eric Caramella, 08, one of the students who led the protest. Yeah, I'm a leader. You know, Eric, I understand that you were recognized by a professor at Yale as potential material to go work, you know, I guess somewhere where they keep secrets. Yeah, but I'm not allowed to talk about that. Okay. Can you tell me why? It's secret. Oh, okay. More, Johnny said I can't talk about it, so I can't talk about it. Okay, cool. So, you evidently were spotted and assessed by someone that probably was on the faculty, but that didn't keep you from pushing ahead with your studies, and I see that's really great. And it went on, and then I see you got a research grant from the Yale Macmillan International and Area Studies Center because of your interest in the European Union and its benefits to Italy. In fact, my understanding is you have pretty strong pro-European Union views. Well, yeah, we're a global order. Okay, so wait, I'm trying to understand. We are global order, but you are a United States citizen, correct?
Yeah, I am. Are you sure you don't have any juice boxes?
No juice boxes, Eric. Let's focus. Okay, so you're a United States citizen. You love the EU. You did a fellowship because of your interest in that. Let me ask you a question. You were pro-EU, and you studied and wrote a paper on its benefits to Italy. And does that have anything to do with the actual dinner you attended in October 2016 that was held in honor of the Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi?
Can you excuse me just a second?
Yeah, are you going to leave?
No, sometimes I get a little nervous and I have a coping mechanism.
Oh, cool. You know, I had Mark Geis sitting exactly in that chair and he had a dog with him. It's a pretty badass dog actually. And that was his service dog. I don't see an animal with you.
No, it's actually an interesting story. People call me the whistleblower.
Yeah, I think that's how we started out this conversation.
No, you don't understand. Whistleblower is my, it's my crypt.
It's your crypt, like your crypt, like what they're going to bury you in?
No, silly. When you work in the secret world, they don't call you by your name. You get a crypt, a pseudonym. And my call sign was the whistleblower.
Wow. I'm scared to ask, but I got to do it because I don't know what else to do. Why did they call you or do they call you the whistleblower?
Well, you see, when I was in Connecticut in the sixth grade, we had music, and I learned to play the recorder.
Really? Do you have an actual recorder with you? I see you fiddling for something in your carry-on bag there.
Yeah. I just need to get it out. Kind of focuses me.
Cool. Go ahead. Show me. Can you play it? Go ahead and do it.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I'm an excellent recorder player. I'm the whistleblower. Johnny gave me that name too, but I'm not supposed to tell you. So can you edit that from this?
Well, if you were actually here, I might could, but since you're not here, I'll probably leave it in.
Oh, okay.
Well, look, you know, Eric, let's focus back on that dinner in 2016, because I hear some pretty cool people were in attendance, using your word, because you seem to like cool.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so John Brennan was there.
Shh. You're not supposed to say his name.
Okay, I'm sorry. James Comey was there. James Clapper was there. John Kerry was there. Susan Rice was there. Joe Biden was there. Nancy Pelosi was there. Valerie Jarrett was there. Samantha Powers was there. And your boss, Charles Cupton, was there. Because my understanding from this article I found is that Matteo Renzi was instrumental in helping John Brennan use Italian intelligence and CIA asset Joseph Massoud to set up the Trump advisor George Papadopoulos in Rome in March of 2016, which put this whole Russian hoax collusion forward.
Well, they had some help.
What do you mean?
You know, that's why everyone's mad at me.
Oh, okay. I get it. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here. So I'm looking at the history that I have on you here, and it looks like you did some work. You had an overseas grant to go study overseas. It looks like in Russia.
Da.
Oh, that's yes in Russian.
Duh.
Okay, I got it. I'm sorry. I'm learning this. I'm just a doctor. I don't know you super high speed secret agent people, so I'll try to keep up.
It's okay. I know sometimes my mind moves a little fast.
Okay, well, I'll slow mine down just a little bit so we can kind of hang together. So, I see you studied at Harvard a little bit, but you never got a degree there. But in 2009, you wrote a paper on the language of the public sphere in three post-Soviet capitals, Tbilisi, Georgia, I don't even, Yerevan, Armenia, Baku, and Azerbaijan. In fact, you were also a corresponding author for Harvard's Department of Linguistics, where you penned yet another paper entitled Structural Ambiguity in the Georgian Verbal Noun.
That just sounds fascinating to me, but not really. Yeah, it's pretty boring. But you gotta do it, you know, so you can go to those places and stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, I see that you won a Regional Studies Alumni Surprise. A surprise prize. Regional studies in Russia, Eastern Europe, and Central Asia. So I guess you did know a little bit about, Ukraine.
Yeah, I'm an expert in Ukraine. Total expert.
Yeah, I hear you are, but that's cool. Well, then it says after you left all those studies behind, your Russian studies, your Arabic studies, Ukrainian work, Russia work, or whatever, in your past, you did a short stint at the World Bank, and you were a consultant on poverty reduction, although I see you deleted that out of your LinkedIn page. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you know, the World Bank kind of has some shady characters in it, and I was kind of like, you know, not wanting to be linked to those characters.
Oh, okay. You mean like, a lot of people that worked at the World Bank worked in other organizations too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see well, you probably wouldn't want to do that. I see where you've worked with some guys from the Brookings Institute before too.
Yeah, they're an excellent organization.
Yeah, I can see that. I know Shadid Hamid is, I believe, the head of that. And funny enough, he used to be a member, or he may still be a member of the World Bank. Is there any ties there?
Let's talk about something else.
Okay, well, that's fair. How about Martin Indyk? I think it's spelled Iudyk. I might be saying that wrong, but I understand that he was on the Council of Foreign Affairs, and he's tied really tight to the Brookings Institute, but he took $14.6 million from Qatar. Yeah, we like to call it Qatar. Okay, Qatar. And that was to kind of push some bad things, and it's all over the news and Twitter in the past, but no one really talks about it. Now, it almost looks like the Brookings Institute supports the Muslim Brotherhood or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's they have offices in D.C. and Doha, which is Qatar. So people associated with the Brookings Institute, well, yeah, hold on. They speak Arabic and they're cool. We got to make a bridge, remember? Okay, yeah, I got you. I don't want to keep, you know, bugging you with that. You know, I see that you did work at the World Bank, and we kind of touched on that. I don't want to overload you here. You won't overload me. I'm really quick and fast. I can see that. What is that in your hand? It's a Rubik's Cube. Yeah, but there's only two colors on it. Well, I know. Johnny said when I get it solved, he'll give me one with three colors on it. Okay, well, let's not get off the track here. So I can tell that you were also cited in a publication talking about Russia reshaping economic geography, which was just an argument largely against post-Soviet Russia and its ambitions in Eastern Europe. So the analyst in this piece that I read looks like you prefer communist Soviet Russia to its present Russia. Well, did you see where I studied? Yeah, I did. So, you know, I'll educate myself on that. Well, the cool thing is, it seems like after that, about late 2011, you know, you were offered a job as an analyst in the CIA. Shh, don't say that. And Johnny said it was an analyst. Okay, I'm sorry. I may have pronounced it wrong. I'm not from the Northeast. But anywhere, you started working in the CIA, and in the second term of the Obama presidency, they got you in there so you could get a top secret security clearance. Yeah, I'm top secret. Evidently, because no one in the media, mainstream media, no one in Washington, D.C. seems to want to talk about your name or mention your name. Yeah, they're my friends. How many friends do you have? Hey, man, I work for the NSC. I work in the State Department and the, you know. I mean, between those two organizations, there's over 100,000 people. I got friends. Oh, okay. I see that. Well, but isn't it true that you are a close protege of, I don't know your words, Johnny? And that you were also a lieutenant to Susan Rice in the Obama White House? I mean, when you left your National Security Council posting in the West Wing around the mid-2017s, I got to confess, Eric, I was there when you left. Not in the building, but, you know, I was in D.C.
Really?
Yeah, and it seems to me that you were accused of leaking against President Trump. Now, you had already been tied to Alexander Chalupa, a Ukrainian-American who targeted efforts to accuse Trump's campaign of Russian collusion.
Yeah.
Which one is yeah? Yeah, you were leaking, or yeah, you were connected to Alexandra Chupla. Kubakab, or whatever his name is, a Ukrainian-American who was targeting Trump and his efforts in trying to build this fake collusion case. It could have been collusion, you know. It could have. I mean, Johnny said it was. Jimmy said it was. And Bob, Uncle Bob, he was supposed to take it home. Okay, I don't even want to know what Uncle Bob taking it home means, but okay. But evidently, it upset enough people that you left. In fact, I would like to read to you from an article back in 2017 by Kate Brannon, Dan DeLuce, and Gina McLaughlin. I mean, it was written in actually Foreign Policy, but it's titled Exclusive. Trump's Trolls Are Waging War on America's Civil Servants. Did you feel like they were waging war on you?
Well, I mean, yeah, they got mad.
But they were accusing you of leaking. I mean, do you have a problem with leaking? Because that's a new chair. And if you don't have any depends on it, you leak on that chair, I'm not going to be happy.
No, silly. I don't leak much. But it was, they were mean people.
Oh, so you were fired or asked to leave or moved out.
Well, that's what they say.
I mean, what does the article say? Have you read it? Here, let me show it to you. That's a lot of words. Okay, I'll read you the high points, okay? I said the trend has unnerved because basically they're finding folks that were working when you were working there in the NSC and you were leaking documents and you were leaking about what was going on, information you shouldn't have been putting out there. So it unnerved a lot of you guys, quote, career intelligence analysts. It's analysts. Okay, analysts. Diplomats, security experts, and military officers who are accustomed to operating outside the political arena. Coupled with the White House talking points, you see, this is written by Foreign Affairs.
Yeah, they're my friends too.
Okay. So basically, over 2 years ago, they wrote this article talking about you specifically, saying, nothing in your resume indicates Caramella would put America first. His entire life arc indicates he will sabotage Trump and leak information to the press whenever possible. I gotta ask you, man, this was written 2 years ago. Aren't you kind of being a self-fulfilling prophecy now? I mean, didn't someone actually realize you were a leaker and doing this?
Hey, I got friends. HR, Susan, they're my friends. We know what's best for this country.
Well, okay, but we have this thing called the Constitution. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Well, you do know that there are certain rules and precedents that you have to go by, and one of them is you're not supposed to leak information. Another thing is you're not supposed to make up information. Those are called morals and ethics. Do you know what those are?
Yeah. Those are what we use against everybody else, but we don't have to do it.
Oh, okay, I see. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, you need to look at the article in the Daily Kos. You do read Daily Kos, don't you?
Dude, I got to confess. I'm going to use dude because you got me saying it now, which is really embarrassing, but I don't read the Daily Kos.
Well, if you did, you would figure it out.
Why don't you tell me? I got a computer here. I can look it up. You know, I know how to use a computer. Evidently, you do too. So tell me about what the article's about.
It's about propaganda. You know, how we message.
Propaganda and messaging. That sounds kind of like what's going on right now.
No, not propaganda like you know it's propaganda. You know, like the propaganda so you don't know that it's propaganda.
Okay, dude. Now I'm going to use that dude again. You've got me confused. In fact, you've got me really turned around here. So let me dig into here and see if I can find something. Now, propaganda, Daily Kos, Kos.
It's Kos. Kos are awesome, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just give me a second. I'll look it up. Okay, I found it here. Hey, Eric. I'm sorry, whistleblower.
My friends call me WB.
Okay, WB. Look, I found it. It was done back in January 12th of 2009 by a person named, I don't even know they have a name on here. It's just kind of like Nikta.
Yeah, we all have cool names.
Okay. Anyway, they mention a Belgian historian pre-9/11 named Anne Morelli, and Morelli enumerates the following principles of propaganda. One, we don't want war. We're only defending ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. See? We don't want war with the country. We're just defending ourselves.
But you're part of the country. You're part of the United States of America.
No, silly. We're part of the State Department. You know, we are the people that make things work and keep y'all safe.
Well, but you're under the executive branch.
Yeah, we were under President Obama, but not this guy. My bosses, I have to listen to them. I remember there's 100,000 of us. We know what we're doing. We've been doing it a long time, and our bosses before us, and our bosses before us.
Okay, I'm going to get you started here. So, number two on this, Morelli enumerates on propaganda the top 10 things are the other guys the solely responsible for this war. And I would say this conflict.
Yeah, Trump's responsible. It's all his fault.
Okay. It also says that the adversary's leader is evil and looks evil.
Yeah, he's bad. Bad. He's the orange man.
Oh, okay. Is that why you say that all the time? You, when I say you, I'm just going to. I think you're a liberal progressive. That's an assumption here, but I mean, you're not sitting right next to me, so would you be a liberal progressive?
Yeah, is there anything else?
No, I guess not. So it also says you have to put out that you're defending a noble purpose, not a special interest, which is really ironic because you're defending nothing but special interests of small cabals of people. And not a noble purpose, which our president is, because his motto is make America great again. And your motto is, we're the government, listen to us, but not the president. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I gotta say it's fair.
So going on, it says the enemy is purposely causing atrocities. We only commit mistakes. So I guess when the conservatives or President Trump does something, that's an atrocity. When you guys do it, like Joe Biden's son, Hunter,
hey, leave Hunty out of it.
Okay, I'm sorry, but do you know Hunter Biden?
Never met him. Yeah, I never met him.
Then why'd you call him Hunty?
Shh, crypt.
Okay, never mind. So, the enemy causes atrocities. This is number five. They only commit mistakes. The next thing is the enemy is using unlawful weapons. And the seventh, we have very little losses. The enemy is losing big time. Is that why you guys are out there saying that Trump is failing in all the polls and that everyone's going to vote for whoever's the Democrat ticket? So he has all the losses and you guys have all the wins, but the actual American people voted for him the first time when you guys said Hillary was going to win. So do you kind of see that this is a little bit of a, well, I guess this is propaganda. That's what we're reading. So never mind.
Yeah, see, propaganda. Yeah.
Okay. Intellectuals and artists support our cause. Well, of course, you're an intellectual.
Yeah.
Our cause is sacred. Well, I know you think your cause is sacred.
Hey, our ideology is everything. I mean, where would this country be without us? The world needs us, but not us. We need the world. We need a globalist society.
Yeah, I see you did a lot of papers on that. I think, is that your position on this?
Well, it should be everyone's position.
Okay, cool. And it says, those who doubt our propaganda are traitors. That's basically Morelli's 10 principles. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, now you get it.
You know what? I think I do. We're really excited to have a new sponsor on the scalpel, Z-Bones headphones. Z-Phones, or what we call bone phones, are a platform that provides everyone with a simplified way to listen to the podcast, to music, to talk on your phone, without having to stick an earpiece into your ear. This is done by innovative technology that allows you to achieve clear sound while still being able to hear your environment around you. As a surgeon, when I operate, I usually have a Bluetooth headset so that I can hear if someone calls me, if I need to say something, or if I wanted to listen to music, and not everyone in the room wants to listen to the same music. But the problem is, when you have something in your ear, you can't really hear everyone talking around you. With these Z-Bones, I can put my headset on, but they don't cover my ears. It's transmitted through the bone, and it's really cool. You get hands-free calling and answering. You can listen to music. They're lightweight. They're flexible.
They fit on your head and they don't hang down. You don't see wires hanging down. And it's real important when you're in surgery not to have something like hanging down in your gown. The open ear bone phone design protects your eardrums while keeping your ears open and listening. It also doesn't allow wax buildup in your ears because you're not shoving a plug in your ear every time. I also, even though I'm a physician, I like to go out to the gun range and shoot a little bit. And it's nice to be able to listen to music while I'm shooting and still be able to put on my ear pro, my ear protection. And I'm not shoving a plug deeper into my ear so I can listen to music or talk on my phone while I'm out at the range. You get 6 hours of continuous calling. You get a 2-hour recharge rate, and it has almost 7 days of standby time. It's a Bluetooth wireless transmission. It has quality sound and performance, and it just works great. I love this. I love new things that work, and these are super cool. And the good thing is they're not expensive. So go to zbones.io. That's ZBONES.io and put in the code SCALPEL70 to receive an additional 10% off. Check them out today. Instead of just running through the airport, going in and grabbing a cheap set of earphones that would cost more than these Z-Bones would because you forgot to bring yours, go get some Z-Bones. They fit to your head. They don't look silly. In fact, if you're wearing a hat, you can hardly see them. So go get some Z-Bones today, check them out, and don't forget to put SCALPEL70 in to get a 10% discount.
Welcome back to the Scalpel. I'm here not interviewing today Eric Caramella, the alleged whistleblower. Shh. You can call me WB. Yeah. Anyway, Eric's here or not here with me today. And we're talking about his position on everything and whether he was the one that was leaking all the information. Now, it was reported in 2017 that he was pushed out of the NSC for leaking. And now I guess he's become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But Eric, I wanted to ask you about something in history because you probably don't know anything about me because unlike you, I'm not famous. There was a gentleman that went to Yale who kind of did secret stuff like you. His name was Nathan Hale. He was born in June 6, 1755, actually in Connecticut, where you're from. In 1768, at the age of 14, he attended Yale, the college you went to. He graduated with first-class honors, and at age 18 became a teacher in Connecticut and then later New London. But when the Revolutionary War broke out, he volunteered because he got a letter from his classmate, Benjamin Talmadge, and he worked as one of the first spies in the Talmadge spy ring. Do you know that he was caught behind British lines and he was hung because he was fighting against the British and he was a spy? And right before he died, he requested a Bible, and that was denied. But he did make a statement, and he said, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." You know, that guy that I'm describing to you, there's a statue outside of Yale where you went to school. Did you ever see it?
No, I don't think I did.
Well, it's there. And you know, it was put there right before World War I to encourage people that were going off to war, the young men in a male dormitory at Yale that were going to serve and fight for their country. And it said, the famous quote, "I regret I only have one life to lose for my country," on the statue. And on the back of it, it said, "In the performance of his duty, he resigned his life, a sacrifice to his country's liberty." Let me ask you a question, Eric. Are you sacrificing, putting yourself out there for your country's liberty? Liberty means freedom.
I'm doing this because it's the right thing. I mean, Trump is bad. He's evil. Everything he does is bad.
Yeah, I know. That's the propaganda you just told me to look up on the Daily Kos. I'm asking you, why are you doing this? Are you doing it for your country's liberty?
Hey, you know, he shouldn't be there. He's going to wreck everything.
What do you mean wreck everything? We have record low unemployment. We have a GDP that's climbing. We have amazing foreign policy. He's doing great with the Kurds. Notice you're not even hearing about that anymore. He just got al-Baghdadi. And now all he wants to do is understand if there's corruption where we're giving American tax dollars. Why is that wrong?
Hey, listen. I don't know what you think, but he's not part of the team, okay? He's not. He's not. He's not one of us. And if he's not one of us, he's not. Period. You suck.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming by. Read up on some history, and maybe the girls can find you a juice box on the way out.
Screw you.
Yeah. Take it easy, bud. Well, that went well. Or it didn't go well. Or he was here. Or he wasn't. The bottom line is this. What's going on right now is a travesty. And the bigger travesty isn't the fact that we have someone who's a whistleblower. There's going to be WB whistleblowers everywhere. They're going to continue to come out. I probably could read you a list of the names they'll come out with soon. Hey, go to all the liberal websites and look who they start defending, like this Eric Caramella, when they started writing articles on him in 2017, setting him up to be a victim. Because that's what they do. They all want to plan to do one thing, and that's unseat a duly elected president. And unfortunately, they're doing it with the State Department, with the CIA, just with the government bureaucracy. And if you look up the why they're doing it, I think it's because the government's so big and President Trump's trying to shrink the size of government. That's my take on it. I mean, if he shrinks the size of government, including government contractors, and someone's actually overseeing these contracts, which, by the way, folks, shrinking the size of government is your tax dollars. It's saving you money. You work hard. You pay your taxes. You don't pay taxes for people to pay contractors for inside crony capitalism. Hat tip, Hunter Biden. You'll see lots of arguments out today from writers in The Hill and National Review. Andy McCarthy puts out a great article, says Right to Confrontation, the latest bogus legal argument over the whistleblower. Basically, the Whistleblower Act doesn't apply to the president. It's designed for the intelligence community, for people that work under supervisors. Not only does it apply to the president, it can't be used against the president. The act doesn't even apply. But are you hearing that from the Democrats? No, you're hearing Adam Schiff say this is important and full steam ahead. That's because he has to protect this massive leviathan of government workers. That's why you see these mainstream media that just puts out article after article, which is tweeted out in the Twitter sphere by all these trolls who really are just government workers. Because if you want to add up all the government workers, you're looking at over 2 million full-time workers. And if you look at all the contractors and subs, you're up to about 9 to 10 million people that work for you, the American taxpayer. Yet they don't feel that way, because they want to keep their jobs, and their jobs all get better benefits than you. They all work less hours than you. There's lots of articles out on that, and I'll put some in the show notes. And they don't have the accountability that we have in the private sector. In fact, just the opposite. While they have no accountability, they can mobilize a media to make you accountable in the private sector to form you into their opinion. And that's where we are right now. We don't have any Nathan Hales that are stepping up. Now, there is a way forward, because this shouldn't be in the House Intelligence Committee to begin with. But if they want to keep it in the intelligence realm, then I have a feeling that the Senate Intelligence Committee needs to step up to the plate, and they could. If you look at what the Senate Intelligence Committee mission statement is and what they are allowed to do and their authority, they could start investigating Burisma. They could start investigating the stuff that's going on in Ukraine, in China, the quid pro quo, the kickbacks, not us, but Joe Biden. When I say us, President Trump, but Joe Biden. When Joe Biden, on everyone's seen this video 1,000 times, representing President Obama, even said calling, withheld $1 billion until they fired the prosecutor that was looking into his son's, the company his son was working for. And there's a lot more there. We could do long shows on it, and a lot of people have. But the bottom line is this. We have a president that's fighting for us against a massive organism that just wants to keep and maintain power. They want to keep and maintain jobs and continue to grow. And if that organism, that cancer continues to grow, there's going to get to a point where you can't stop it. And I thank God that we finally got some chemotherapy in this country by the name of President Trump. And we need to get behind him. We need to get on the phone with our congressmen. We need to get on the phone with our senators and ask them. And I'll just say it, John Cornyn from Texas. You're on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Why don't you guys start subpoenaing Hunter Biden? Why don't you guys start subpoenaing Joe Biden? Why don't you get to work, not to protect President Trump, but to protect the American people that elected him? Because we're tired of it. We're tired of seeing the rules of propaganda used against us and the spineless politicians out there, and you know who you are, going along to get along to stay part of this massive tumor and organism. And the only way we're going to defeat it is to get to the ballot box, to keep voting the bad people out, to protect our president and keep him there so he can continue to cut the size of government and he can continue to make America great again. We'll have some interesting things in the show notes for you today. And check out my not guest, Eric Carmella. Very interesting guy. And there's a whole lot more interesting guys out there. And you're going to see an interesting, I don't want to say interesting again, you're going to see a very unique web of people that are all tied together for a single purpose, to get rid of President Trump because he threatens the swamp. Pray you guys have a great weekend. Thanks for putting up with our little parody, and most importantly, keep freedom rolling. Headline New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the sea.